It's Tuesday and time to read from your emails. A week ago, we talked about what lies ahead for the Democrats and what you'd like to see from the Democratic majority in the 110th Congress. Bob Jacobson emailed from Santa Monica, California, to warn against focusing too much on moderating the party. I like what I hear from the new Democrats so far, he wrote, but moving to a center that's been skewed so far to the right can be perilous. Centrism may produce political comity, but it may not be how systematic problems can really be solved. Our show yesterday looked at the other side of the aisle, and we'll read emails from Republicans next week. On the opinion page last week, Benjamin Wallace Wells sized up two of the frontrunners for the Democratic nomination for president in 2008, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and he posed the question, is America more racist or more sexist? Helen Jones chimed in from Colonial Beach, Virginia. I doubt that in my lifetime this country will elect a woman president. Machismo is alive and well in the U.S. I'm certain we will have a racial minority president long before a woman gains the presidency. Last Wednesday, we talked about some of the towns and cities that aren't waiting for Washington to solve illegal immigration. They're cracking down on their own. New laws in Pennsylvania, California, Texas, and other states call for fines on landlords who rent to illegal immigrants and on businesses that hire them. That local approach sounded good to Roger Hayden, a listener in Wyoming. The burdens of the flood of immigration, he wrote, are shouldered primarily by the blue-collar working class, a class with little political power or voice. Unfortunately, when this voice is raised, it is shouted down by the business owners who profit from immigrant labor, as well as the unaffected, more wealthy members of the community. Immigration is not a racial or human rights issue. It's a quality of life and community issue for legal, hardworking U.S. citizens. Mike O'Brien disagreed. Writing from Ann Arbor in Michigan, he said these local laws trouble him. There is a problem with illegal immigration in the United States, he wrote, but the local ordinances being passed are not solving the problem. These ordinances are more of a showing of how our country is intolerant of others and isolating itself from the rest of the world. And a week ago, we talked about the collision of copyright creativity and the web, and about what's called the YouTube curse, when a video clip gets too popular and lawyers demand that it be taken down. David Williams wondered why copyright holders wouldn't just enjoy the free publicity. They pay for product placement in movies and on TV. They paste their names on every flat surface and some that aren't so flat. They are constantly trying to rise above the din. Now individuals are putting some product out there for free. It exposes thousands of people to a product without any effort from the owner. If you see a really great clip of Saturday Night Live on YouTube, he pointed out, you are more likely to tune in this week to see if they can top it. As always, the best way to reach us is by email. If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name.